You're listening to a Dom and Jeremy podcast. Your boys in the morning on Mix 100.
Before we get into our discussion about reinventing yourself, interesting story out. It's a relationship expert, which, what a great title. I used to jokingly, for years on this show, I used to refer to myself tongue-in-cheek as a relationship expert. And had a lot of fun with that. But How does one get to become, like, what's your criteria for becoming a relationship expert?
I'm sure there's some sort of classes and certificates, and you just have to date a lot, I guess.
I remember writing back to me, they're like, well, you're divorced. How can you be a relationship expert? And I go, honey, what do you think makes you a relationship expert?
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Anyway, a relationship expert out of Australia says the new dating policy for women should be never plan on dating a man when he's in his 30s.
Oh,
don't date
for
dudes
decade,
in their
huh?
30s. So that just ripped out, you know, 20-30% of the dating pool. Boom, just like
Gonzo.
That.
Sorry, 30-year-old dudes.
She says there's two reasons. One, if they're in their 30s, they likely are falling into two camps. One, they're just in the process of starting their own family, right? Married, starting to have kids. Or if not, it means that they have serious commitment issues and you should stay away from them. Her advice, ladies, instead of dating a guy who's in his 30s, find a nice divorced guy in his 40s.
Okay.
She says they at least, even though they might have some baggage, because everybody's got some sort of baggage, she goes, at least they have proven that they are not scared to commit.
Yeah, but I feel like there's your own headaches there, too, because you're really set in your ways in your 40s, too, so it might be difficult to date somebody in their 40s as well.
I think better than 30s, actually. And I'm going to agree with her, because I was a guy in my 30s dating. And I wouldn't have wanted to date me when I was in my 30s.
I was dating Knickknack for most of my 30s, so it all worked out for me. I was fine.
No, you were married to her.
I was even married, yeah. Yeah. Oof.
You were married for your entire 30s.
Most of them, yeah.
No, Jeremy, you got married when you were still in your 20s.
Was I?
Yes.
Let me do the math.
So you have been married
the
entire decade of
your
30s.
Right, actually, I was.
Not most.
Oh, wow. I've never thought about that. You're right, I was.
You didn't have a single day in your 30s.
A single date?
Day. Not one day.
Oh, day?
In the 30s were you single.
Yeah, you're right. I feel fine.
You should.
I feel great.
Anyway, I just thought that was an interesting. And I concur with the dating expert. And then the other discussion has to do with this phrase, reinventing yourself. Have you ever set out to do that in any way?
No, I haven't needed to yet. I mean, it might be coming, I guess. I don't know. I'm eventually thinking I'm going to need a new hairstyle. So maybe that is reinventing myself. How do you do that? In what way? Like, I mean, is there multiple facets on what you're reading differently or you're exercising more, your look, your job, your spouse? I mean, there's so many different facets of this.
I get the feeling that most people, when they hear the phrase reinventing yourself, their default is a physical change. That's what I think. Like you said, you know, get a new hairstyle, stuff like that. So for a lot of people, it's, well, I'm going to lose a lot of. And I found that a lot of people reinvent themselves or try to when they're at the end of a long relationship, right?
Sure.
So it's like the people we were talking about who got divorced, suddenly they are reinventing themselves. They're going to start working out. They're going to get in shape. They're going to change their hair.
You realize that you've gotten complacent and probably very lazy by the end of a relationship. You know, you're not doing that as much. You're not eating as healthy. You're not working out. So you're like, man, to nab somebody else that I can let myself go to hell with, I need to start reinventing myself.
Yeah, more true than funny.
It is, isn't it?
But I think even though we might default to physical, to me, and I'm no expert on this, but reinventing yourself probably would need to be more of an internal reinvention than anything external, I would think.
You have a little conversation with yourself?
Well, yeah, because if you don't change your drive on the inside, the external. I mean, that's just a facade. That's just a shell on the outside. And reinventing to me isn't about going and slapping a new coat of paint on something. It's completely, it's probably selling the house and moving to a new one. And I'm using all that as a metaphor.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
instead of just painting something, I think you want to move to a new house internally. That's what I think. Because otherwise you're just going right back down the same road and that paint is going to peel also.
Right. Right. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I was looking at some stuff online. There's like this whole 7 steps to transforming yourself, reinventing yourself.
Oh,
this
really?
Is saying see yourself outside yourself. So you almost have to step back, and this might be a close your eyes and pretend that you're somebody else looking at you and kind of see what they see and what needs to be changed. So I guess that might be like a form of meditation maybe, or just even opening a journal and saying, like, if I was looking at myself, here's everything this T-shirt wardrobe has got to go with the wolves on the T-shirts. Enough of this already. I need to clean myself up.
But is this looking in the mirror, is that just heading back to external shell stuff again? Because if you look in the mirror, the journal part, reason that it's a good idea for people to keep a journal, because if you could pull out a journal from 10 years ago, now we're not so much talking about looks anymore. Now you're talking about your inner thoughts and where your head is about things.
But I think also if you're looking at yourself as an outside person, you're also probably envisioning things that you say and your attitudes towards things. And, you know, you're probably witnessing a lot of that too. Like, I need to change my attitude type thing versus looks versus new pants. This is also saying set realistic goals, I guess baby steps, basically. Mm. Like, you don't need to change everything at once. Work on little things bit by bit. Now, this is saying constantly look in the mirror. So maybe constantly go back and kind of reevaluate your change and make sure you're still on it. I don't know.
Well, I will say this. If you're trying to sell a book or trying to get people to go read your blog posts and get, you know, clickbait on that, it's smarter to talk about the external outside stuff, because that's way easier for people. When they see that in a book, they'll buy that book because that's easy to do. Oh, well, I'll just go change my hair, or oh, I'll get different clothes. It's real easy. If you're writing some book saying you need to sit down and knuckle down and do the really hard work of yourself, people don't want to buy that book. Even though self-help books are huge, it's still easier for people to try to change the wallpaper than to redesign the structure of the
home. To take the drywall out. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
And put up shiplap.
And I think those are going to sell more copies because people want the easy answer to everything. And I'm lumping myself in with this too, because I'm a human being, and I will always want to do the easiest fix on something. If I can get away with a Band-Aid, I'll do it. I don't want to have to go in and do sutures and
actually, a cast. You don't want to be weighed down with a cast.
Right. If it's putting a Band-Aid on versus reconstructive surgery, I'll choose the Band-Aid like everybody else.
All day long. Because if you can rip it off, it's not working for you.
Right.
I do like this one. It says, surround yourself with people who will tell you the truth. So maybe it's one of those things. You know, I see this a lot on Facebook where people are taking like a weight loss journey and they announce it on Facebook. And I've read many times that you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to announce it somewhere or tell somebody, because it holds you accountable, basically. Because you have told somebody that you're going to do this, and now you kind of have to follow up. And I guess if you do that with people that will tell you the truth, they can actually be like, dude, 2 months ago you posted you were going to stop eating pizza, and here you are at Papa John's pounding it down. What's up?
I see that, but I also understand the logic that people say the other side is to never announce that you're going to do stuff, because
you're less
likely to actually do it if you announce it, believe it or not. The studies have shown that if you keep it to yourself, you're more likely to do it than if you announce it. Because they say by announcing it, your brain interprets that as being halfway home.
Oh, like I did it already. I did it. I announced
That's
it.
That's right. They say psychologically, if you tell a bunch of people I'm doing this, your brain is like, well, I've already pretty much done it, so I don't have to work hard at it anymore.
Right.
So
I like the quote that goes around. It's like, never tell anyone your plans. Show them your results instead. I love that quote. I love it.
Super strong.
I don't know. There's a buttload more things on this article. I might post this on our Facebook, actually, for anyone dabbling.
For people who are thinking of reinventing. But Jeremy, I will close this out by telling you one thing.
What?
Don't you ever change.
Shut up.